other set of great guests. Right now, James are here in the live room. Welcome. How are you all?
Good, but we can't compete with extra long Iggy Pop.
So, Tim, you were just talking about going to see Iggy when you were... It was like the third gig you ever went to see.
Yeah. Yeah, the second was the Clash White Riot tour.
Oh, wow.
And then we organised a school party to see it from a boarding, very posh boys' boarding school. And after that, they said no more gigs. And then we talked them into taking us to see Iggy Pop, saying he wasn't a punk because he'd been around before punk.
Oh, right, okay.
And the church organist took us, Roger Parks, who'd always been like, you know, straight out of boarding school to Cambridge and never seen real human beings.
Yes.
And Iggy came on covered in blood.
Wow.
With a devil's tail, leather pants. And it changed this guy's life. He thought it was the most passionate, exciting thing he'd ever seen in his life. And it changed our lives. I was 16, got punched by a bouncer and had a medal to prove it.
Oh, my word. Hang on. So, I mean, there are about 8 questions I want to ask just about that conversation. But so that was your first 2 gigs, The Clash and then Iggy. What was the first? There were 2 and 3.
A bit embarrassing, the first. Hawkwind.
Hawkwind
and Motorhead supported.
What, so with Stacia period Hawkwind still with and with Lemmy and both bands.
Motorhead. I think he just split.
Right,
but they had him as support.
And, oh wow!
I was dragged to that one. That was like, you know, a kid just being invited to.
Silver Machine is an absolute banger.
I'm
with you on all 3 of those. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a really busy time for you guys. You have not one but 2 new records out: the new album and the single. So, Girl at the End of the World is the album, and that is out on Friday, along with Nothing But Love, the second single from the record. I want to ask about the album title, because obviously having caught up with you guys around the last record, it feels like this one is, you know, the last one. There were a lot of songs and a lot of conversation about death, and we talked about that and the kind of experiences around this. Where are we now? Where's the girl at the end of the world? Who is she, and how's she feeling?
Well, the actual song Girl at the End of the World is one of probably 2 songs on the album that still seem to be tinted by death. I live in Topanga Canyon on these like winding canyon alpine roads, hairpin bends over a deep canyon, if you imagine Swiss Alps. And every couple of weeks, some idiot American overtakes on one of these bends and hits someone head on and goes over the edge. And I think that song is about me imagining, you know, if you've got a split second, you come around the corner and there's a car coming towards you. And can you imagine, like, appreciating every moment of your life in that split second before you go over the canyon walls? So it's another song, unfortunately. You've chosen the one song to talk about, which has still got that element of mortality about it. It's a very uplifting, joyful song, of course.
Yeah, it is.
But the rest of the album is, you know, it's just full of lots of different things. It's really more signifying, I think, musically around grooves, because Mr. Glennie here has got very sexy in his old age. and Mr. Hunter, who on keyboards, who's come out as a bit of a, I don't know, he wants to make you dance too. So we've got that. That's the sonic quality to what's going on.
And that kind of picked up from the last record, as I understand it, because it was performing the tracks from the last album live that kind of inspired this, you know, working with a drum machine and, like you say, kind of bringing this slightly more, you know, songs to make you dance element through.
Yes, it was cold in Scotland too. It was minus 10. I mean, it was like, set the drum machine very fast because we've got to keep warm. And we wanted live songs that we knew would go down well live, but it's always, you know, nice to have a groove in there.
Okay, well, I've got so much to ask about the record, but first we'd just love to hear some music. What are you going to play for us first?
We're going to play Nothing But Love, which is really about... I've hardly ever written any love songs because they're so overused. And this is really about how love as an explosion, as a completely inappropriate volcano that can blow up your life. So it's called Nothing But Love.
Let's do it.